I must tell young Danlin to beat the log alarm. It'll warn any beast still outdoors to come in.
Simeon grimaced.
Oh, dear. Do we have to suffer that noise again? Young Danlin is a bit over-enthusiastic at beating a hollow log with two clubs.
Abbot Bernard smiled reflectively.
Yes, he does rather put his heart into it, doesn't he? Still, I wish everyone were as willing in their duties as our Danlin. If ever Redwall Abbey gets a bell, I'll be the first to vote him as bell ringer.
The two mice made their way between the flower beds which dotted the dark green sward. An ominous grumble of thunder muffled its way over the far horizon to the northwest. Abbot Bernard turned in the doorway of the abbey, attempting to conjure up his powers of smell.
Cider poured cold from the cask. Eh, Simeon?
The blind herbalist wrinkled his nose.
Wrong. It's pear cordial.
The father abbot of all Redwall tried not to look amazed, even though Simeon could not see him. He might sense his abbot's expression. Far, far over the horizon, far to the northwest, far across the oily blue-green billows, which were rising, lashing their tops into rippling white peaks of foam, far over the abysses and deeps of the heaving seas, far from the peace and calm of Redwall Abbey, stood Gabool the Wild. Clouds of jet black and slate grey boiled down out of the sky to meet the lashing waves. A blast of hot wind, like the gust from hell furnace doors, set Gabool's scarlet cape fluttering as he stood on the high cliffs of his island, defying the elements. Thunder boomed out, forked lightning ripped through the lowering vault of the sky. Gabool drew his jewel-hilted sword and waved it at the storm as he roared and laughed in exultation. The deadly curved blade, with its sharp double edges, hummed and sang against the wind. Gabool the Wild ruled the seas. He was the dread lord of Terremort Island, king of the sea rats, warlord of all rodent corsairs, captain of captains. No creature alive was a fiercer fighter than Gabool. From the lowly position of a young scully rat, he had fought his way up to be the biggest, the most savage, the cruelest, and the most ruthless. In all the seas and oceans, there had never been a rat like Gabool the Wild. Huge gold hoops dangled from his ears. His fangs, which he had lost long ago in hard-fought combat, were replaced by sharp-jutting gold canines, each one set with a glinting green emerald. Below his weird yellow blood-flecked eyes, an enormous dark beard sprouted and curled, spilling down to his broad chest, silk ribbons of blue and red woven through it. Whenever Gabool moved, his rings, bracelets, medals and buckles jangled, gold, turquoise, silver, ivory, plunder from the far places of the high seas. Strange weapons with shimmering twisted blades were thrust into the purple sash about his waist, dangerous to serve and deadly to trust. He stood laughing in the teeth of the gale, satisfied that the creature who had dared go against him was now fish bait on the seabed. Thunder crashed overhead as the skies released a deluge of whipping, lashing rain. Lightning crackled around the rocky tor, illuminating the barbaric figure, as if even the high heavens were challenging him. The warlord of all waters threw back his huge head and shrieked out his battle cry to the storm. The pitiful tiny figure of a mousemaid was hailed about like a chip of bark in the eastward rush of high-roaring seas. Tormented rolling waves, whipped to a frenzy by the screeching wind, billowed and swelled, long-combing chariots pulled fiercely along by tossing white stallions of foam and spray. The mousemaid, partially stunned, dared not even let one paw free to undo the rope about her neck. Her numbed paws clung grimly to a jagged spar of driftwood as she plunged wildly about in the maddened waters. Now on top of a wave, high as a castle, hurtling down blue-green valleys into a trough that yawned like a deep dark monster mouth, now being spun sideways with the spume, now being flung backwards from greater heights to vaster depths. The rope became tangled around the wooden spar. Painfully, the little maid tried to bite at the hemp. Seawater gushed into her mouth, and she retched as the water threatened to choke her. A flailing end of rope struck her across the eyes. Unthinkingly, she let go of the spar. It whipped off in a different direction from her. With both paws tearing feebly at the rope circling her neck, she was shaken about like a small fish upon rod and line. All consciousness was finally beaten from her body. Then the spar struck her across the head, and the helpless figure was lost amid the pounding, crashing seas. Obscured by the boiling cloud curtains above the maelstrom, not even the stars or moon were witness to the fate of the little mouse maid, victim of Gabool's cruel whim. Chapter 2. Close to the north side of the Abbey building, a new construction was underway. Astride the wooden scaffolding of a half-finished bell tower, young Dandin pounded doggedly away at the hollow beech log. Thunk, 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 thunk! Though he was a sturdily built little mouse, he felt himself driven aback by the blasting wind. Shaking rainwater from his eyes, he bent his head against the onslaught of the storm and continued stubbornly thwacking the log with two hefty yew clubs. Whenever Dandin raised his gaze slightly, he could see the fringe of surrounding mossflower woods swaying and hissing, rustling and sighing like a restless ocean.
Dandin, come down, you'll catch your death up there.
The young mouse peered over the scaffold, shielding his eyes against the deluge. Draped about with a clean, worn-out flour sack, Mother Mellis, the red-wall badger, stamped a huge paw upon the wet sward.
Do you hear me, young mouse? I said down this instant.
Dandin blew rainwater from his whiskers. Smiling roguishly, he called back.
Right this instant, ma'am, just like you say.
Without a backward glance, Dandin threw himself from the tower and came plunging earthward to the accompaniment of the badger's startled growls. Not more than a fraction from the ground, he stopped falling and swung there, dangling by a strong vine rope harnessed about his waist. Dandin touched his nose with a wet paw.
Came as quick as I could, ma'am.
A huge paw cuffed him roughly about the ears as Mother Mellis freed him from the encircling vine rope. Tugging him firmly in her elbow crook like a baby, she hurried in out of the rain, scolding Dandin as he complained loud and long.
Put me down! I'm not a baby! I can walk!
No, you're not a baby. You're a young pickle, do you hear? And you should know better. Throwing yourself from a high tower like that. By the weasel's whiskers, you scared me out of 10 seasons' growth.
I know what I'm doing. It was completely safe. Now, will you put me down? I can stand on my own paws, you know.
I'll put you down, you young rip. Next time I'll tan your hide so hard you won't be able to sit down until berry picking. Just let me catch you jumping from high places like that again. What do you do if the vine snapped, eh? Then we wouldn't have to dig a grave. You'd go so far into the earth, when you hit the ground, you'd be able to shake paws with the tap roots of an oak. Be still, you little blackguard, or you'll feel the back of my paw. Young Abbey beasts these days, I don't know.
Scolding and arguing by turns, the young mouse and the old badger went inside the Abbey. Mother Mellis kicked the huge door shut behind her, leaving the storm to rage on outside. Across Great Hall, in the cosy surroundings of Cavern Hole, Abbot Bernard sat at head of table with Brother Simeon on his left paw, and Formole, the mole leader, on his right. Lanterns twinkled around the homely festive board. Moles jostled shoulders with mice, hedgehogs sat next to otters and squirrels. The Abbey infants were allowed to sit at table with their elders. They were mainly woodland orphans, gathered in by Mother Mellis. Baby mice, small hedgehogs, a young squirrel, and twin otters who had been brought by their parents. Little ones, who were known as Dibbons. They were sat on the table edges, facing the brothers and sisters of Redwall, the good mice who tended and cared for them. Redwall fair was famous throughout the length and breadth.